wedding is the schus refuah shleima for Tinik and Malka bat Rivka Devera. To have a refuah shleima. Okay. Ha'aymer Mishnah on Ayin Ches Amid Beis. First Mishnah on Ayin Ches Amid Beis. Ha'aymer B'nizeh Mamzer. The guy says, this my son is a Mamzer. Ein Neman. Now Rashi learns that the case is, he walks in and he says, this child was conceived and born from a woman that's a Chayv Krisus, meaning has nothing to do with his wife, there's no woman here involved. It's a man who walks in, says, you know my son here? This is my son I had from a Chayv Krisus, from my sister-in-law. She was the one that gave birth to him. That's what he claims. So he identifies the child as a Mamzer, without saying that somebody else had an illicit relationship with his wife, because that wouldn't be his son. We get to that in a moment. That wouldn't be his son. That would be somebody else's son. But he's saying about his son, you should know, this son was born from a lady of Chayv Krisus, meaning not my wife. My wife is a fine, wonderful Jewish lady. But it was born from a Chayv Krisus relationship. Ain't a Neman, he's not Neman. This is the second case. Husband and wife come in and say, you should know the baby I'm carrying, or the baby she is carrying, not from me, it's from a different man. Right? So they're both claiming that she had a relationship, an illicit relationship, and therefore the child that she's carrying is a mamzer. They're not believed. And the case number one is because a person's not believed to say on a kid that he's a pasul. There's no such namanas in the Torah. And even if he were an Eid Echad, which he's not because he's a Karev, an Echad's not an Emma for Yuchtin. And the second case, right, it's not even his kid according to him. So even all the namanas that we say fathers have over children would be out the window. Not even his kid, number one. Number two is, they're both saying that she committed an Avera. We don't believe them. There's no reason for us to believe that this happened from an illicit relationship. There's no proof. Rashi. I'm sorry?
Second reason wouldn't apply
blindness. True, wouldn't apply blindness, but the first reason, there's no namanas, they're not Adam. Rashi, Mamzeru, Shinai Limachai Vikrisis. Notice Rashi translates the first case, that is a Mamzer because the woman I had this child with was a Chai Vikrisis. Ain't a Neman, the Karagu Etzlai. Vain a Kashala, and Allah. He's not Neman, to welcome back. Vavilu Shneem, Ha Vahim Imrim. I'm sorry?
Because he's not, you don't believe someone
was himself. He's not incriminating himself. It might have been a mistake. It might have been, he didn't say b'mezid. Number one. Number two is this, that you think it's Pagina Dibura. If he did say b'mezid, we'll see that in, I'll tell you what, wait 2 minutes. Wait 4 minutes, maybe. Depends on how many questions. I feel like staying. What's afilu? My Ravusa the Sefer Midrasha was the bigger Chiddush in the Sefer than the Rasha. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, Nemonim. So Trashi, Nemon, Aresha Nami Polik, Nemonim, Aresha Nami Polik, the Gemara Yalav Taima. He believes, he is believed. So now let's dissect both of these cases. Rabbi Yehuda learns from a Pasik Yakir that a father has Nemonis over his child. So therefore, that allows him to say that this child was born from a Chayv Krisus. He's not an Eid Echad. Not believed. Eid other mates, all the things you have to say about him, Eid other mates, not sure, all the good things, doesn't make a difference. Because the Torah said, Yakir, a father is believed over his child. So this way, the father says, my kid is a mamzer, he's believed.
I didn't know it's his kid.
I mean, he's a chazaka than his kid. He's been walking around like a father and a child for the last who knows how many years. We never accuse a guy that he has a strange kid in his house. So again, let me just finish. Before any questions. So Rabbi Yehuda, anyway, let's read the Gemara before we get involved. Don't think Gemara. My Vafilu, what is the bigger Kiddush of the second case than the first case? First case, he says when he had it from a Chayv Krisus. The second case is when he said that his wife had it from somebody else. Let me buy a Kamar. It's a bigger Kiddush. Let me buy you, like him, like. He can never be sure that he conceived from a Chayv Krisus, meaning he can know that he had a relationship with a Chayv Krisus. But he has no way of knowing that she didn't have a relationship with anybody else. For all he knows, the child was fathered by somebody else. He can't be sure. He can have a good suspicion, doctor, if you don't wait. I'm not answering any questions until I get to the other.
I always,
part. Okay. So he might have a good suspicion, good reason to believe that it's him, but he has no proof. So therefore, he's not believed. And La Fili Ida Kimla, she knows who she had relationships with. She's really well aware of who fathered the child that she's carrying. Still Loi Mehemda. She's not believed. But Loi Miboy Echad Isle Chazaka the Kashas Loi Mehemdi. It's not only if the kid was born already, and every kid is assumed kasher, and now somebody's challenging that Chazaka. La Fili Uber Nami Delef Le Chazaka the Kashas. And Uber doesn't have a Chazaka yet. Not born, Loi Mehemdi, they're not believed. Dr. Ashi, let me buy Eohav, like him, let him be men in this Abra Miachar, that we don't know whether he is the father of the child. He claims he lived with a Chayv Krisis and they had a child. He knows he lived with a Chayv Krisis. He can't be sure that this is his child. Let me have that, let me have that, let me have that, but let me buy Eohav, is the Chazaka, the Kashvus, Gerbesha, Shkayatel Av, the Oilam, the kid was already born, right? And Vadheinu Hukzim Bechetzkes Kusher. Till now, nobody said a bad word about him. We assumed he was Kusher. No reason to suspect otherwise. Here comes Dad and says he's an Amzer. Where are we up to? Einanem and Absula Kaima. Period. We'll see in a minute. Dr. Gemara Weiter. I'm not answering questions until we get a few more lines in. Rabbi Yehuda Eimin Emanim. Kiditanya. Yakir Yakirenu Lacherim. The Torah says, Kere Bechor Ben Asnua Yakir. Rabbi Yehuda learns that that allows the father to tell me anything about his child. Not only does it allow the father to tell me anything about his child, but it allows me to tell anything about his perceived child. Because one of the sources of Rabbi Yehuda is he can say his kid is a ben hasnua. He can say that his kid is a product of an illicit relationship. Included in that is to say that it's not my kid. Even though when he says it's not my kid, L'chaira, there is no Yakir, it's not his kid, the Torah only believed him about his kid. So the Achreinim explained that included in that halacha of Yakir is to identify that it's not his child. That's included in that pasuk. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda allows a man who's perceived to be the father to either tell us about a child that his child is pasul, or to tell us that this is not his child. Mikan Amar Rabbi Yehuda, the person can identify, this is my oldest son. Because this is machlokes how we know Rabbi Yehuda learns that. The pasuk only talks about identifying as a bechor. So how does Rabbi Yehuda extend it further? So this is machlokes rishayim. Some rishayim learn it's because he walks in and he points to a younger kid and says, this is my bechor. We look at him and say, excuse me, this kid's 12, the other kid's 14. How can you say your 12-year-old is your bechor? Terence says the Torah gave him the debunas to say the kid is the bechor. Automatically that says that the 14-year-old is not his kid. If he's identifying the 12-year-old as his oldest, that means he's telling you my 14-year-old is not mine. And that's included in the debunas at Torah. That's how some Rishonim learn. Other Rishonim learn that Yahshua goes on two things. He has a bechor, number one, and ben hasnua. He can identify that his son is the bechor. He can also identify that his son was born from an illicit relationship, that he's a ben hasnua. Snua means hated by the Torah. So therefore, either way you learn, this is Machlokes Rishonim, they learn that Rabbi Yehuda holds in the Gzeiras HaKasuv is included this halacha, I ain't not the meisim atzmei rasha. So the Ritva says, Pagina dibura. We don't hear rishis. We only hear result. We don't listen to the word mezid. It's not the gay. The Torah said he's believed. The Torah said he's believed. The Rabbanon, however, learned that this is limited to Bechor. He can identify who his oldest son is without impugning anybody else. Meaning, we have two children that look fairly the same in age. He is allowed to identify which one is the real Bechor. He cannot identify a 12-year-old as his Bechor if it makes his 14-year-old in a mamzer. That was not included in the pasuk. So there's a machlokes to what extent did the father get the manas from the Torah. Rabbi Baran says it's only limited to Bechorah, and Rabbi Yehuda says it includes all the things about his son, or even to say it's not his son. That's all included in the word Yaki ben, Yabchor ben Asnua Yakir, Rashi. So Rashi, Bechorah ben Enema, Rashi. Einanemen, Absula Kaimi. In your Bechor, like Pligi. In Bechor, they're believed. Fine. Now I'm going to hear questions. Yes, Dr. Harris, you still have your questions?
How does she know? Even If she says she didn't,
she can know.
She can know
whether she ever lived with another man besides the man she says fathered her child. She knows whether in the last 10 months she lived with another man. A man can never know what the woman did, but a woman can know what she did. She claims, I know for sure that the father of the child is not my husband, because I never had a relationship with him the last year, and I did with another man. Yes, doctor.
But I'm sorry, Rabbi, she may have been having relations with two men. How would she know?
And she wouldn't know. But it's possible that a woman can say, I know. A man can never say, I know. All the Gemara says is that when she claims she has an ability to say, I know for sure, no man can ever say that.
Okay.
Unless he locked his wife or a woman in a room with a padlock and he's the only one with the key.
Dr. Harris,
question. Okay, fine.
That's why I wait.
Dr.
Gavayevich. He has to know why he's before so that he can do Pishnayim?
That's what the Torah is talking about. The question is, what did the Torah mean when it gave him this ability to identify?
That's for the Pishnayim, yeah.
Again, I'm answering your question. I'm not saying what you said. I'm saying, Machloikas from Yehuda and the Chachamim is how far did that go?
Short of that, what reason we have to know?
He wants to identify the kid as a mamzer. What do you mean, why we have to know?
As a mamzer, that's one thing, but based on Bechor.
Again, let's step back. The Torah is talking about Bechor. And the Torah says a father can identify as Bechor. That's the pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda learns from this pasuk that not only can he identify as a Bechor, he can say anything about his kid that he wants to in his Neman, about the yichus of his kid. Nothing to do with Bechor.
It's based on Bechor.
I don't know what you mean by based on Bechor.
If we don't have a pasuk about
If we didn't have this pasuk, it wouldn't happen. If we didn't have a pasuk to say Shema every day, we wouldn't say Shema. Everything is based on Sukkah.
We still have to know if he's a mamzer or not.
Again, without this pasuk, a father wouldn't be believed. If you don't know, you don't know. We don't know anything. We don't know who's a mamzer. You don't worry about what you don't know. Again, this pasuk is written directly on Bechor. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's saying a lot more than Bechor. How does Rabbi Yehuda know this? So I spoke God and my clerk is Rishayna. Rav Tzvi Wanshita is, by identifying Bechor, in some cases, he might be saying somebody else is a mamzer. Because he looks at his younger kid and says, this is my oldest. Obviously, he's saying his oldest is not his. The second shot is from the word Ben Hasnua. Yes, doctor.
And this principle is, I mean, the core is not that unique. Because basemen can do whatever they want to with money. So it's just a monetary matter. So basemen can distribute that at will and make this rule. The question is really in terms of duchen. In that if a father identifies the child as his son, and the father is a son, and the son is not, and the son now gets up and duchen, we've got a rise of problems.
Again, I'm not so happy with your... This is a constant argument we've been having. This business of they're just distributing money at will. We don't distribute money at will. We do it the Torah way.
Agreed.
And the Torah has a way of saying that a father can identify his kid as a Bechor for monetary reasons.
You're much more familiar than I am with.
But that's only used under certain circumstances. We don't go around taking people's money away and giving it to other people.
I'm quite aware of it. No, Satan is not the American government. I'm quite aware of it. However, I think you will agree with me that there is a principle called based in heaven.
Right.
It is a matter of moment. It is not a matter of a right to answer, which duchening is.
Again, okay, let's go back. Mamzer is also the right. I'm trying to figure out what you're gaining by duchening.
No, all I'm saying is that the core is really not the... it's like identifying a coin from Truma is not really a paradigmatic situation. That using Bechor as the critical part of this identification is also not the critical identification.
Again, I'll say it one more time, and I'm not sure exactly which part you're disagreeing with me on, but the Torah, according to Rabbanan, said his manas is limited to monetary bechor, and only monetary bechor. He has no right to say that his 12-year-old is a bechor, so his 14-year-old is a mamzer. He's not believed on that. Torah never gave him belief on that. So therefore, it would never be identified anything to do with duchening, because a father can only say which of my children is the oldest when they both could be the oldest. The only time the Torah believes them. For monetary purposes only. So Rabbi Yehuda says that included in this is believing him about everything, including calling him a mamzer, which is much worse than duchening, and calling him a ben grusha, and whatever else you want to say about him, the Torah gave the father or the perceived father a right to do that.
What I'm trying to do is in order to address the dichotomy between money and space.
Again, I told you the only states I know are the 50 states, and I know I was once upon a time knew their capitals also.
I think eventually.
Zakti Gemara Vayter. Amar Leir of Nachman by Yitzchak L'Rava. Mishlam of Leir of Yehuda and the Sim Yakir. I can understand what the Xeris HaKasim told me. El Rabban al Yakir Lomali. Why do I need Yakir? Dr. Gemara, but Sarah Chakera. But you have to identify them. Meaning sometimes we can't look at the kid and figure out when it's the oldest. Because according to the Rabbanan, if he looks the oldest, he is the oldest. And the father can't change that. So when is he believed? The answer is, but Sarah Chakera. You have two kids that are very similar in size and in age and growth and age. And looking at them, you don't know which is the older one. So there, the father has a belief to say which is the older one. Zok to Gemara Lamayo Chasa. Lots is like Bishnayim. What difference does it make? Who's going to get the double portion? Frak the Gemara Mishit, the Lama Likra. Migu di boy Meisulei Matana Milo Yavulei. Why can't he give him a present? Why is it necessary to tell him to give him an amanus? Without the Xeris HaKasav, he should be believed to say this is my oldest, because if I wanted to give him more money, I could give it to him as a present now. The guy doesn't have to wait to identify him as a Bechor so he should get a double portion. The father has the ability to give his son that he wants to give the double portion to a present. So he's believed with a migul. Why does he have to have a Xeris HaKasav that he's believed? There's a other way of doing it. And that would make him believed anyway, without Xeris HaKasav when it comes to money. Because the money is negeya, getting a double portion. That double portion can be given to him now as a present. So to Gemara, he can give a present now, but how does he take care of the future things? The father might make another $1 million. How does he get a double portion of that? He can't give a double portion today for what's going to happen in the future, because that's not here yet. So he can only give a double portion of what's here today. He can give him an extra present. He can't do it for the future. But according to a marriage, one can give a present of the future. One can give his son a present. I am giving you now a double portion of whatever I am going to get of the Machna Davish Lebaliyalam. So why can't he give it as a present? Why do I need Xeris HaKasav for? Dr. Gemara, there is a point in a person's life that at that point he's not capable of giving a present. Other Machna Davish Lebaliyalam works if at the time it comes to Ilam, he can still give a present. So instead of writing a present every day and every week, according to a mayor, he can write it now, and it'll kick in on everything that he gets. But only things that he gets, that he's capable of giving a present when he gets it. A geisus is not clear, we're not sure he's of sound mind. And then when there comes a point in life that the guy's stock market just shot up, and he got a lot of money, but he, unfortunately, it is in a position that he can no longer give a present. So you need Yakir to say that his identification of Bechor will get that person Pishnayim in that as well. That's what the Xeris HaKasav of Yakir comes to tell me, that even if it's beyond present giving, still his identification of Bechor will allow that person to take Pishnayim. Rashi. Zakt Rashi. B'tzara HaKeira, Kral LeBechor Huda Asa. Ugegan. Shabamim Pinas Hayam. Comes from a different country. We have no idea who his oldest kid is. What gain is there? Ashmina Krov, of Nemanov, with the Bishnayim? Chita the Neman. Of course he's believed. Lamali Krov, why would I need a Pusik? Migudi boy, Lamesle Kula Nixi, Yavle Mehemanami Lamesle Nalabi de Buroi, the Tires Bagaira. He could give him the present. Why can't he be believed to say it's the Bagar? It's a Migu, he has a Migu. He could have said a better thing. Believe me, because I could have given it to him. Lacha Mikan, Lacha Shaman Lufane de Bagaru, Nafsula, he got more than a custom. The who writes to lay the Kuterra Chaika? He wants to leave town. If he inherits something from his dad or from anybody else that bequeathed some things while he's alive, the lahachi ilav dashmina krov, the pasuk wouldn't have told it to me like a migu. The boy in the sin of that he would give it. The ashla matiyav can't give it now. The ashla shakul b'tayrus yerusha. Then he'll take it as a yerusha. Shugaitis. It'll help, even though the thing he gets while he's in his death throes, when the father is in his death throes. Not out of the fact that the Torah gave him this power. Migul would not have worked. The mighty Rameir, Vayman Achasim Shevayelik Shehe Gaisis, the Sunalach, Shulamar Klum. Because at the point that it comes into the world, he no longer is capable of giving a present. The Ritva says, because Daito Nitrafalov, we cannot be sure he's of clear sound mind. And therefore, at that point, this present is not a present. He's beyond Shrivmira. Shrivmira can give a present. This person is beyond that. He's already past that stage, and we don't know how clear his mind is. Why doesn't he say that Avkamina is, if something happens after the father passes away, as a Bechor, he would get Pishnayim, and that's for sure not in the realm of present. The answer is, the Hana Villa Batar is Bechor, the Mahan Lady Burek. Bechor wouldn't get that anyway. They ain't a Bechor Noitel Barokim B'Mukhzik. Bechor only gets things that are there at the time of death, not things that come in posthumously. Let's say Reuven dies, and after he dies, Yaakov dies, right? So Reuven now is entitled to inherit Yaakov, but that wasn't there at the time Reuven died. So therefore, the Bechor does not get Pishnayim in that. Pishnayim is only on things that he has, not on things that he doesn't have. That's the halacha. Now, right, that's the halacha. So therefore, that's what Yaakov comes. According to the Rabbanan, Yaakov is a pure monetary halacha. That a person can identify a Bechor for monetary purposes that extend way beyond, or far beyond, his giving a present. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda learns, Yaakov is a wide spectrum of halacha. Now, the Mepharshim speak out that the Gemara could have given other nafkaminas. For instance, the halacha is, Matana has to be returned by Yovel. Yerusha does not have to come back by Yovel, at least according to Amar Amar. So, if Yerusha does, if he gives it as a Yakir, the Bechor inherits it, and since he inherits it, when comes Yovel, does not have, they don't have to start over again. Whereas if it's a present, every 50 years, they would have to restructure it. In fact, he would lose the present. At the end of 50 years, the present comes back if it's land. That's number one. Number two, they say, if the recipient is a cotton, this father has an 8-year-old and a 7-year-old. He can't give a present to an 8-year-old. The migu of giving a present doesn't work. It depends. That's a charis machna, that's a charis not machna, but the rice of the rabbonon, to makloikas we shine him, so I'm not going to get involved in that. But if one learns that that's a charis machna does not work biblically, it would make an avkamina. As Yakir, he would be believed to say that his kid can inherit it, even if the kid is 8 now. Whereas as a present, biblically speaking, he would not be believed, according to what some Rishayim would only be a drabbah.
He's a karov to his son, right?
Yes.
So what we're saying now is that's not in regards to this.
The parent gave him belief.
You can't say, well, Moshe Rabbeinu can't testify against Aaron.
Again, the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu can testify about his sons because the Torah said Yakir. You can't, this is exactly that custom. No. This is not logical.
Why can't he give a present?
What?
Why can't he give a present to his son? He gives like a lulav to your kid.
What's that cotton?
Yeah.
It's questionable whether that works with the raisa and the rabbana. It's my colleague's rishayim. Taisa shita is das acharis machne works with the raisa. Many rishayim hold it only works with the rabbana. The kid doesn't need it more than the rabbana anyway, so I don't care about the lulav. But I said, according to those who say that a present to a cotton is only rabbinic, Yakir is a deraisa. The Migo does not give him the ability to deraisa. I don't pick sides.
Is the most work even just the Mahara? Challenging it?
How would the person challenge?
Maybe the mother.
Yeah, the father's believed over that. I mean, why does the Gemara say Yakir against the Mahara? Because he can still give a present. No matter what the Mahara says, he can give a present. Yes, doctor.
I think there's sort of a related thing in terms of God, that there is a time at that time when someone delirious and active dying, and asks for a glass of water to make charcoal. So this is not under Yahir. But, you know, special thoughts. I mean, he had enough thoughts to ask for a glass of water. He did not. He was otherwise quite serious. They made that. Not
yeah, you can say I made that bracha.
On what basis?
Because he made the bracha. There's no reason to assume that he didn't make the bracha. Because he knows how to make a bracha, that's no, he knows how to give away his money. That's number one. Number two is, in the Chassidish Yisvarim, this is a major thing.
I'm aware of that.
That the person, before they die, says, Shahakol Niyam B'Tvaray, referring to everything that ever happened to him. This world came from Hashem. The Chassidim say, he makes the Shahakol before he dies, and he'll make the Bayer Nefeshes by Tchiyas Hamesh. Yes.
I was quite aware of it. Frankly, you need more dots to make a bracha than you do to
I'm not equipped to handle this question. I would just say that I don't think so, but that's, we'll leave it at that. Okay. That's the Mishnah Vayta. Now, this Mishnah, the Mefarshim say, doesn't really belong here. This belongs back in Perek 3. When we talk about Kedushin and Shlichus, this is a Yuchsim Perek. This is really nothing to do. We finished Kedushin, really, back in Perek number 2 and 3. We started in number 1, then in the middle of number 1, Dafyud Gimel, we said goodbye to Kedushin all the way to the end of the first Perek. We started talking about Kinyonim of Eben Ivri and Eben Knani and Shepcha and Mitzvahs, and all the things all the way down to the end of the first Perek. In the second and the third Perek, we came back to doing Kedushin and Kedushin Bavera, and who you could marry and who you can't marry, all, I mean, in Hilchot's Kedushin. Then in the fourth parak, we started talking Yichus. And Yichus carried over to Kedushin because who you can marry, who can't, Ger, Mamzeres, all those things. That's what we're doing. All of a sudden, now the Gemara goes back to Shlichus and Kedushin, which belonged in parak number 2 and 3. So the Mepharshim speak out because this Mishnah is based a little bit on Yichus, as we will see as we go along. The Gemara will explain. And therefore, it's inserted here. Because there's a little Yichus issue here, even though a minor one, but enough so that the Mishnah, that Rabbeinu HaKadosh decided to place this Mishnah here, not back in Perek 2 and 3. Zok the Mishnah. Mishnah Rasen Rishos L'Shluchay L'Kadosh Bitay. A guy empowered his Shliach to do Kedusha for his daughter. I mean, Reuven told the Shliach, go find my daughter a wife, a husband. Go find her, husband. And then the father went and married her off to someone else. So here goes the shliach of Reuven and finds a husband. And Mr. Father, who sent the shliach, also finds a husband. And they both did Kedushin. Father's allowed to accept Kedushin, and his shliach is allowed to accept Kedushin. The halacha is, im shaloi kadmo kedushim kedushin, depends who's first. If he did it, his kedushin is a kedushin, then shliach kadmo kedushim kedushin. The maini yadua, what if we don't know who was first? Shneim daistim get, both have to write a get, because we don't know who the husband is. Then Ratzu, Echadite and Get Vechad Kindness, if they want to, one can give a get and one can remarry her. I'll use the word remarry because we don't know if the first marriage worked. Rashi, Im Shaloi Kadmu, Kedushim Kedushin, I shouldn't say remarry her. He can marry her. He might have married her already and he's wasting his time on doing it again, but he might not have married her and this is when he's marrying her. Im Shaloi Kadmu, Kedushim Kedushin, the butler was Shechus and Ishliach. Because by going and doing Kedushin, he automatically is saying the Shliach doesn't count. They both give a get. But hey, and the Mishnah is going to repeat it on the woman's side. Woman empowered a Shliach to accept Kedushin for her. Then she went and accepted Kedushin herself. The main of Yehidim, Shnei Vaisen Laget, Vimratzu, Echad Vaisen Laget, Vechad Kindness, one gives her a get, and one can marry her. Okay. Utricha. Gemara, we need both cases. Yes, doctor.
Sorry, this is a bit off. So is there any problem with this thing that people started doing, moving their vows after 50 years or whatever? It's not in the
order. Not a Jewish thing to do.
Agreed, it's not a Jewish thing to do, but there's not any answer.
I don't know if an answer except in Derech HaGoyim, if that calls an answer. Why a ridiculous waste of time, but then besides that.
That's a blessing.
Okay. Utricha. The Yashmin and Gabba Diday, which is the Gabba Kimle B'yuchsen. By him, we would say, the question is like this, and this is the question here. Rumi makes a Shliach to find the Kedusha for his daughter. Then he goes and does Kedushin himself. Now, Mr. Ruvik, what in the world are you thinking? You sent the Shliach, and then you go do it yourself. You could say, the Ruvik is saying to himself, I'm going to accept Kedushin from my daughter, but I mean it on condition if my Shliach doesn't find somebody better. But if he finds somebody better, I'd rather go with his than with mine. So it's like a built-in t'nai. That would be the Havamina. Comes along the Mishnah and says it doesn't work that way. It is not a built-in t'nai. It is a kedushin, and forget about the shliach. The same thing is true by the woman. She made a shliach to accept kedushin. Then she went and accepted kedushin herself. Maybe there's a built-in t'nai. If my shliach doesn't get me somebody better. If he gets me somebody better, I'd rather go with his. So talk to Gemara and Shlicha. The Ashmina Gabadi Devishim the Gabra Kimla B'yuchsin. The man knows how to check miyuchesis. Therefore, we say when he found the wife, that's the one he wants. And he doesn't care about what the shliach finds, and he's being mevatel the shliach. Meaning, basically, he's marrying off his daughter, so whatever the shliach does is meaningless. Aval itzad loikim la biyuchsin. Women aren't so well, they don't know how to check out men so well. So maybe, eimel loy nehebe kedusha kedushin. Maybe she's doing it in case he doesn't find a better one, but he's better suited to find one than I am because he's a man and I'm a woman. On the other hand, women are very careful before they get married because they're stuck. Man is not stuck. He says, you know what, let me try. Maybe the shliach got somebody better. That's why the Mishnah says in both cases, if they act on their own, it is not a t'nai, it is a v'arei kedushin, and forget about the shliach.
Unless you make a t'nai out loud, right?
Unless you make a t'nai out loud.
It's not going to be done to the shliach.
No, it doesn't have to be there by the t'nai.
How do you make a t'nai?
You tell the person, well, in which case you want to, let's take the second case. The woman made a shliach, now she's accepting her own kedushin. She tells her husband, I'm only willing to get married to you on the condition that my shliach doesn't get anybody better. Have fun. But that's the t'nai she would make. I'm not for it, I would get her, but that's the t'nai she would make. Rashi. From the Gavra Kimla B'yuchsin, Kshinimsim Yuchesis, and we found the Yuchesis, which was to be Yuchas, because he's finding a man. Kitchalai, Ubitulas HaShliach. Aber Itzad Loi Kimla B'yuchsin. Eim Avagam the Kitcha Atzma Loi Bitulas HaShliach. Somehow she didn't really rely on it. The summer, don't mishliach mashchas miyuchas mizeh. Maybe he'll find somebody better. Father doesn't really care if his daughter gets such a big miyuchas. The shliach, afilu mekatcha ligarua. He doesn't, you know, v'hadakadim katcha, summer, don't mishliach mashchach. I'll be a mashchach, lay batlay. He figures, listen, I have to find my daughter a wife, a husband. I'm stuck. I'll get anybody. If he gets somebody better, honor Rabbi, let him be his. Kamash Malan, no. Kedushin is Kedushin, no Tanai, no nothing.
This is what Rabbi meant for the Yichus part, where it's written.
Yes.
But this small little, this little...
That's right, just that.
You just said it?
I meant, that's what I meant, yes.
No, I thought...
That's the Yichus part, that's the only Yichus part.
Yes, yes.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to see where I am.
I don't know, but you tell me.
this is the whole hobby.
I just told you.
I didn't know that's what the Rebbe meant.
Yes. Yes. That's why, this is what the Mepharshim say. Because really this Mishnah is out of place. Shlichus and Kedushin was in the first, second, and third Perek. The third Perek. The whole third Perek was Shlichus and Kedushin. All of a sudden, everything was there. Here we're talking about Yichus. What's this doing here? In fact, the next Mishnah talks about Yichud. The parent is in Atzara Yuchsin. There's a reason it's called Atzara. That's not the reason. The reason is that's the first Mishnah. But it's still Yuchsin. This Mishnah, this parent is Yuchsin. So this is what the answer that I saw. Because it's going to involve, you might find him a Yuchus.
I told you.
Exactly. Again, I didn't see a better answer. I don't know what the Rebbe of Art School has to say about this. He usually brings down something about this, but I don't know. Yes. Zakti Gemara Vayit. Itmar. Okay. Itmar. Kitcha via Maderech, Bekitcha Asma Behir. Vahir Begaris. Okay, the Gemara will explain this at length. I'm going to cheat, and I'm going to tell you the Gemara's explanation so we can understand this clearly now. This is the day a woman becomes a Begaris. The way the Gemara comes out is that a woman becomes a Begaris 6 months after she becomes a Nara. Now, Rashi learns that Begaris can happen earlier. It happens any time within the 6 months, but no later than 6 months. A Nara is a girl who hits the age of 12 and develops Tesaris. That makes a Nara. 6 months later, she becomes an automatic Begaris. According to Tesis, and wait, most people always assume, Begaris does not have to be accompanied by any physical signs. There are, but that's not what makes her Begaris. 6 months later, she becomes a Begaris. However, it's sometimes accompanied by physical signs, and that's what this Gemara is going to be talking about. The physical signs. Rashi learns it can happen before 6 months. Tysus argues and says, no, it's 6 months to the day, not any later. Okay. This is the day she turns to Begaris. When does she turn to Begaris? Beginning of the day, end of the day, we look for the physical signs. If she develops those physical signs, she's a Begaris at the time she developed them. She doesn't develop the physical signs. She's a Begaris at Shkia. That's the halacha. In comes the father in the morning, and he accepts Kedushin as a Nara. He can marry her off. So the day she's supposed to turn a Begaris, he accepts Kedushin. She goes in the afternoon. It can be an hour later. It can be 4 hours later. It can be 10 minutes later. But let's say afternoon. She accepts Kedusha from somebody herself. Now, if her father married her off, then she's not Kedushas, then she can't accept Kedusha on her own. She's a married woman. If her father didn't marry her off, meaning if it was invalid, then she accepted her own Kedusha. We check her. She's a Begaris now. At 5 o'clock in the afternoon, she's a Begaris. Father did Kedusha 10 a.m. She accepted Kedusha 4 p.m., we check her at 4:15 or 4:10 or 4:01, and she's a Begaris. Question is, was the father Makadosh and Nara? Or since she's a Begaris now, assume that at 10 a.m. she was also a Begaris. That is the question on him. Do we have to worry about the father's Kedushin? Do we have to worry about her Kedushin? This is called an halacha. A chazaka hasuya liishtanas. She has the chazaka that she's a Nara. But it's supposed to change. It's going to change. What?
Nara is
Yeah, she had Shnei Zara 6 months ago. So, well, we know she's a Zara. That's not, we're assuming that, but let's say in this case it's a Zaraisa, so we checked her out. For Kedushin, we have to check out. So here is a lady. She was a Zara. Chazaka says she was a Zara until we know differently. But now we know differently. And the question is, when did that difference happen? Chazaka Mikara says one thing. Chazaka the Hashta, the current thing, says another thing. She is a Begaris now at 4:15, so Mistamba, she might have been a Begaris at 10 o'clock. But Nara says she didn't turn up Begaris. Now, usually, Chazaka Mikara outweighs Chazaka the Hashta. Because that's how the Torah said, go by what happened and assume it happened at the latest possible moment. But this is a chazaka asuya lishtanais, made to change. It's supposed to change. And therefore, that weakens that first chazaka. And that becomes the issue over here now. What do we do in this case?
I have a question.
Yes?
While she's a katana and a nara, the father can be a kaddish.
Yes.
Right? After that, he cannot.
Correct.
Right? So if she knows that he's going on his way to find shidduch for her, can she even make him a shliach while she's still a nara?
Yeah, absolutely, she can make him a shliach. Not a katana. Katana can't make a shliach.
A nara, she can make a shliach.
A nara is a gdola. A nara is a mature girl. She's chayvin all mitzvahs. He has certain rights over her.
So once she's a katana, she can make him...
Katana can't do anything.
Once she's an Ara, she can make him...
She doesn't have to. He has a right. He doesn't need her.
Right.
After that, so she has to make him a shliach. That would work after Begabagras, correct.
She can only make him a
shliach
after
Begabagras. She can make him a shliach now. She doesn't need... He doesn't need the power until after she becomes the Begabagras. Yes. She can make a shliach as an Ara that will work when she's a Begaris, correct. Not necessary now. It'll be necessary later on. But that's not this case at all. She did her own Kedusha that same day. There was no shlichus. But there was no shlichus. Forget about shlichus. Let's not confuse the sugya. Trust me, the sugya is confusing enough. We don't need any help in confusing the sugya. No shlichus. The father was his right to be Mekadosh and Nara accepted Kedushin at 10 a.m. The girl at 4 p.m. as a Begaris accepted Kedushin as a Begaris. We have no knowledge when that change took place. If it didn't take place by 10 a.m., she's married to the guy her father married her off to. If it took place before 10 a.m., then his Kedushin was no Kedushin. We don't know. We know now she's a Begaris. Now, Taisa speaks out. This is another point in the equation that we'll need. Why does the Gemara need this? Just ask me a question. Father accepted at 10 a.m., and she's a Begaris now. We don't need her Kedushin involved at all. Forget about her Kedushin. The Gemara could add a much simpler case. The day she turns a Begaris, the father accepts the Kedushin at 10 a.m. We check her at 4 p.m., and she's a Begaris. Is the Kedushin a Kedushin? A Kedushin not a Kedushin? Why do we need to bring in the fact that she did her own Kedushin at 4 p.m.? That doesn't change the Shaila. The Shaila was the father's Kedushin a Kedushin or not. That is independent of what she did at 4 p.m. All we need to know is that 4 p.m. she was a Begaris. Now what happened at 10 a.m.? That's the Shaila. Why does the Gemara need that she be Mekadosh herself? Zuktaisis, and this becomes a player in this sugya. That if she wouldn't have done the Kedushin, then she has a cheskes pnuya. She has a chazaka being a single girl. A suffic Kedushin in a single girl, chazaka tells us that she's not married. She wasn't married yesterday. She wasn't married at 9 a.m. So if you don't know, she got married at 10 a.m., the Torah says, when you don't know, leave things as they are. She's a single girl. That's what Chazaka tells us. But here, she for sure is not a single girl. By the time 4:15 Beit Kamei got along, she's for sure married. So there goes the Cheskes Pnuya. We don't say Cheskes Pnuya said that she remained single as long. She's no longer single. That's out the window. Now the question is, who had the authority to do Kedushin? The fact that she had a cheskes snuya was destroyed anyway. Destroyed, wrong word. Was changed anyway by the fact that she accepted a kedushin. That's what Taisa speaks out. So therefore, the only chazaka we're dealing with now is a cheskes haguf. Her body was a nara. Her body had to change. That's called a cheskes haguf. There's a cheskes snuya is a halachic chazaka. She was single. And there's a cheskes haguf, which is a physical chazaka, which says things don't change. Well, they did change, and it was apt to change. It was supposed to change. And therefore, the question now becomes, what happens with this set of kedushin? That's the Gemara Shaila. Now, some of it is going to be worked out in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to work its way through, but that ends up being the Gemara Shaila. Let's start the Gemara. Right, but said there is a physical sign that tells, if no physical sign develops, she becomes a Megaris automatically at Shkia. Automatically.
Shkia of the latest time?
Yes. That's halacha. You're asking me to buy halacha's difference? I don't know. I don't write the Torah.
No, I want to know why does it start at the beginning of the day?
Because it doesn't. That's exactly it.
Why?
Because that's what it is.
When I ask the word why, it's because I want to know what's in the core.
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, usually we go...
Wait, you're going to repeat the question again? I'm sorry, I don't know again. You know, I can put the recording on. You'll repeat the question, and I'll repeat, I don't know.
Maybe between a few times you remember.
No, I didn't. I don't remember. In fact, if not at this sugya, I would have said that if she turns into Megaris the first moment of the sixth day, nothing to do with physical signs. But if that were true, we could erase this whole sugya. And since we're not erasing the sugya, then that's where I know I'm wrong, and that the real chat is that she turns to Megaris at the end of the day. Now, where that comes from, I don't know. I know. I learned from good people how to repeat myself. Megaris is physical signs. Happens, but it doesn't have to happen. Unlike Nara, without Shtesaris, it's not a Nara. And by the way, a Nara that doesn't become a Nara on the day of her 12th birthday, let's say we checked her, she did not have Shtesaris, she developed it 3 weeks later, would become a Megaris 3 weeks, 6 months to the day afterwards. According to Rashi, one can become a Megaris earlier by the development of the signs. Rashi learned 6 months is the max, not the minimum. According to Taisus, it's an exact science. 6 months to the day, not earlier, not later, even with the physical signs. Except the day of the sixth month, if she has the physical signs, she's a Megaris. That's it. Now, what the source is, for the fifth time, I don't know.
A physical sign, if it's earlier, it doesn't matter, right?
Machlekes Rashi and Taisa.
Even earlier?
Rashi learns a woman can become a Megaris before 6 months if she has those physical signs.
Before 6 months.
And Taisa learns it cannot happen that way. And everybody should have a wonderful day.